Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Today, I am very, very excited to be joined by Pratik Tamala, and he's an ethical hacker. He's differently abled. He uses a one-handed keyboard, and we've been friends for, well, a few years now, actually, because he's helped us out on the International Imposter Syndrome Awareness Day, which we founded about 4 years ago now. And he's going to share a few of his tips on internet security for people at home and also people in business as well. But I think if you are in internet security, just be aware, Pratik, you've been involved for what, maybe 5 years, I think?
Close to 5 years now.
Yeah, so you're sort of getting towards the middle of your career, which is quite exciting, really. And happy that you've joined me today. The purpose of this interview, which is a bit unusual for me, is to actually see if we can find a company within the UK who will hire Pratik, because he actually wants to move there because it's much, much easier for him to have a better life actually over there. So he can be completely self-sufficient. And that's kind of exciting for me because I want to get involved and sort of help him to do that. So thank you so much, Pratik. I greatly appreciate you joining me, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. So, I mean, I think maybe we talk first about passwords. I mean, passwords, they're not going away immediately, but you know, there is a move that passwords will eventually disappear. But what do you think about that, and people and what they can do to protect themselves?
So firstly, thanks for having me, Nat. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast. And yeah, we've been friends for almost like 2.5 years now, ever since we known each other. And it's always been a great chat whenever we meet online. And yeah, it's been fun so far. Yeah, so yeah, coming to your question. I mean, passwords are like, you know, the gateway for, you know, any normal user to get into the account. For example, if you have an email, you will definitely have a password for it. And then to get into your email, to log into your account, you definitely use a password. But what's happening is a lot of times these days, passwords are getting stolen, you know, by the hackers through various mediums. Like, you know, someone may leave the password as is on the server, and the hacker might hack and get the server access and get the password details of the other users, which is like a very, very dangerous thing. Also, what is happening is that a lot of people don't have the time to remember the passwords, which is why they sort of store the passwords on the browsers, you know, and just copy paste it as and when it is necessary. So that is a good thing in the short term, but in going forward in the long run, it is a very dangerous thing, because as in when, you know, for example, let us talk about Google Chrome, where, you know, people usually store their passwords. If they are using a browser like Google Chrome, they might store the passwords and use it as and when it is necessary. But for example, let us assume that Google might update their browser, for example. So in the process of updating their browsers, I mean, the users could either leak their passwords by their own mistake, or the hackers or the attackers who are constantly trying to, you know, breach the Google company or the browser may get access to the user passwords, which is very, very dangerous going forward in the long run. So in my opinion, it is always not a good idea to, you know, store your passwords in the browsers. Rather, it is a good idea to just remember the passwords or use a password manager tool, which is easy to store your passwords and then maybe
use them as a manager. So just to clarify, okay, you're also talking about mobile phone operating system saving the password. So for example, you've got with Apple, you get asked by Apple, do you want to save this password in the keychain, right? And also that happens on Android phones as well, right? So you're basically talking about mobile and desktop,
right?
And basically not trusting those services, much rather have a more secure password manager, which is all they do, right? So that password manager is a specific app that you can use, which you should pay for, because if you don't pay, the service is kind of a bit rubbish. So, but we're only talking about $2 a month, right? £2 a month, or $2, $3 a month. It's nothing for the convenience and actually the peace of mind to put your passwords in something that is actually safe, because you still have to log into that. And then obviously you need to have two-factor authentication, which it amazes me. So many people don't use two-factor authentication, like on Facebook and stuff. It's like you're using an app, right, which frankly is a can of worms when it comes to security, but we're not going to go into the reasons why I know that. But you definitely need to have some form of two-factor security. And even if it is just a mobile number, which I know is lame. Yeah. I know that's lame. It's not ideal. It's not an authenticator app, which would be better, or there are even better methods than authenticator apps, right? There are more secure ways to do it than that. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, like, as you said, two-factor authentication is the way to go. And you know, one should use two-factor authentication as and when it is necessary, because having a layer of protection which is using just a password is not enough, ask me, is not enough these days, because hackers are so clever that they will breach your account within seconds and you will not have any idea as to how did it happen. So two-factor authentication is a protection, but then, yeah, I mean, that also should be used in such a way that, you know, you should be mindful of it and use it as and when it is necessary.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So have you got some other sort of things that are on your mind about internet security, or any particular kind of technology tips that you would like to share with the audience?
So yeah, Nat, I mean, coming to technology tips or, you know, any sort of use cases that might be useful to the audience today would be, you know, I've been working in the cybersecurity industry for the last 4 years now, on and off, and I've been working as a penetration tester for the last 2.5 years. And trust me, Nat, in the last 2.5 years, I have seen so many vulnerabilities in the applications that really cause the damage to the end users. I mean, all in all, I would just say that, you know, whenever any individual or a customer is using an application, he or she should always be mindful of the fact that mindful of the information that they are giving to the application, and should always be mindful of how the information is being used by the application.
Right. And that goes for mobile apps, yeah, as well, doesn't it? Sometimes we can get very paranoid that we're being hacked, but I think we need to do all that we can to make sure that actually we're not easy pickings, right? Like this is the most important thing that I sort of learned a few years ago. I'm not going to go into the reasons why. But I think that it is it's a very dangerous place, the internet, and we can be as careful as we can be. And I mean, Pratik taught me some very useful things when I spoke to him. When was that? Maybe a couple years ago, actually. And I've followed his guidance, and it's really helped me considerably, to be honest. So I want to thank you for that information that you shared with me, Pratik. And I mean, what do you think about that? About being sort of...
Yeah, so I mean, like you said, you know, following basic tips or, you know, following basic rules of internet is the most important thing for anybody these days, because every business that you see today is online, and people are making lots of money. You know, people are doing transaction of millions, billions, and more. You know, likewise, even I do a lot of things online. So yeah, I mean, people should be very careful and very vigilant when it comes to using internet, because, like you said, you can blame hackers for it, but at the end of the day, our safety is in our hands, right? I mean, you cannot blame anyone for your own mistake. You should blame yourself and no one else.
Absolutely.
You are the one who's putting the information out for the hackers to consume, and they are happy doing it because that's their job. But, you know, Absolutely. being a responsible citizen, you know, you should be careful enough to know how to put the information and where to put the information and when to put the information, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely in our hands to, you know, protect our data, our details, and our information. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think using public Wi-Fi is definitely a worry for me. Most certainly, that's something that I try not to do. But I think sometimes if you don't have reception, then, you know, you might need to be on public Wi-Fi. So obviously, there are ways that you can sort of secure that as best as you can, right? But even so, it's still, everything has a risk, doesn't it? Everything that you do online has a risk. I mean, but now I'm not going to call them hackers. I'm going to call them cyber criminals. Yeah. You know, I've interviewed a number of people in this space over the last 5 years, and I've learned a lot about this particular field. And it amazes me now that you know, voices can be replicated now just from a simple voice recording, and actually you can receive a phone call if you're in an accounts payable department that says, please wire this money to my bank account, Georgina. Here are my new details. Blah blah blah. And Georgina might think that is the managing director or her boss, but actually it isn't. It's a deeply sophisticated fraudulent activity. And you know, I interviewed the head of the police force in the United Kingdom and a number of his colleagues discussing these very things. And it's unfortunate that the people who actually get tricked with this kind of thing are in fact the most vulnerable in society. And that's really, really quite sad. Really quite sad, to be honest.
I mean, yes, absolutely. I completely agree with you in this point. Similar to what you just mentioned, that a lot of people get random calls and messages saying, you know, hey, you've won a lottery worth £100,000, which is not going to happen to you because you've not invested such a big amount anywhere, and you get going some random calls and stuff. So, like, yeah, I mean, people should always be very vigilant about what's going to happen and stay away from all of these. Similar incident also happens here in India, where people get, you know, random calls from strangers promising that a loan is approved worth, say, 10 lakh rupees, you know, and, you know, people who are vulnerable and people who are not knowledgeable about all these things, you know, tend to believe them and, you know, do the things that the hacker want these guys to do. And in return, all they get is to lose money, and all the hard earned savings is what they lose at the end of the day. And that's very, very sad, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, actually, how good they are at this. I mean, they have call centers that actually, you reminded me of a funny story. Can I tell you this funny story? It's crazy that this actually happened to me, right? But basically, maybe 15 years ago, talking about like telephone scams, right? I was actually, because these are rife. Like, I mean, nowadays they haven't really got that much more sophisticated. They've got a little bit smarter at the way that they sell the idea. They pretend to work for the government. They pretend to work for all sorts of places. But the trigger is when they ask you for the password, right? Like that's the trigger. When they say they work for Amazon and they need your password, and you know, there's all sorts of things that they can do to manipulate and things like this. But at the time, so back to this story. At the time, I was unemployed, and this was, wow, this is probably in 2009 or 10, and I was unemployed. And I remember my friend Louis, he said to me, "Oh, I've got this great job interview and for you lined up, and I'll put you in touch with the recruiter." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And basically, it turned out that they were selling Jatropha oil investments, right? Like fake Jatropha oil investments. And I didn't realize this, right? But basically, I went for this interview. And as soon as I got to this interview, the CEO of the company came along. And he just looked at me and he said, the first thing he said to me was, "You look like shit." This is what he said to me. The first thing he said to me, "You look like shit." And I was like, and I just sat there and I was like, and I, at that moment, like my heart sunk. And I felt like I'd been kicked in the nuts, right? And then it turned out that this dude basically had an entire call center of maybe 50 people in London who were working for him. And they were phoning people all day, every day, for maybe 6 weeks and getting investments going for these people. And it was just absolutely brutal. Eventually, they caught up with him. I think they caught him, and he had basically just rinsed like millions and millions from people. Just, and none of the staff got paid as well. So it was a double whammy, right? But thank God I didn't get the job. Thank God he really didn't like me at all, and I didn't like him either. And it was just. But these people, they are really sophisticated. And if you think what they were doing back then, and that was 15 years ago, nearly now, it was 15 years ago, pretty much.
Right.
So it's like, you think about that now and what they're doing nowadays. And really, if anyone calls you up or sends you a letter, you have to be very, very careful that you are not being defrauded and scammed. Right. And this goes for all sorts of messages on the internet. It goes for all sorts of things, really, to be honest. Back to the internet, right, and back to the current situation. I mean, we've got, I mean, when the Pope was wearing a white puffer jacket and he was walking along the beach with, I think it was Angela Merkel or someone, like, you know, like, you really need to think about the internet and how you can be deceived very, very easily. And it could be a video nowadays. It's kind of insane, isn't it, Pratik, at the moment?
Right. I mean, when you talk about videos, you know, I suddenly remember, you know, a trend that's been happening these days, and that's deep fakes. A lot of, you know, trick masters or, you know, smart ones, the smart hackers, are trying to create deep fakes of the famous celebrities and trying to bring them down, you know, trying to bring their reputation down and trying to cause them harm. I mean, you know, this is something really upsetting, because it is going forward, it is going to be extremely more difficult, you know, for people to express themselves out there, you know. For instance, like, even if we take this podcast, even if I want to, you know, post this podcast, say on YouTube, let's say 5-10 years down the line, I might have to think 10 times or 20 times just to put out there, because who knows, like, you know, a hacker can create a deep fake of me and, you know, change the narrative of the podcast and put something that I have never said on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could absolutely do anything if you have the footage. So, yeah. I mean, deepfakes is something that is really concerning these days. And like I said before, like, you know, people should be very, very careful of what content they are putting it out there, and how important it is to, you know, have a private account when it comes to all these social media stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the nature of your work, right? Like for me, I have to produce content, right? Like it's part of what I do. And actually, I think I would be depriving the world of some really, really useful, inspirational content that will educate them. And that's obviously, it's a thought that I've thought about. And it's like, yes, I could go and I could delete all of this stuff, right? But then I would just have audio only. And then that becomes kind of just one dimensional, doesn't it, at the end of the day? Sometimes people like to see you and know who's talking to them, right? But I am deeply worried about this. I mean, I think that Google and others are looking at ways to embed tracking mechanisms into these videos and into the imagery and this kind of stuff. But there are always going to be programs that can actually
breach.
Yeah, there's always going to be that. And a lot of the time it's funded by rogue states that basically want to destabilize the world, right? And that's something that, you know, we could talk about for ages, right? It's a huge, huge topic, but it's not something that we really get too into on this channel, yeah. But if you are looking at this and you're in a big business, you're in InfoSec, and you do work in the UK, and you're looking to sponsor someone and someone who is differently abled as well, which you know, Pratik is an absolute asset to any business that he would work for. And you know, whilst he's happy where he is in India, he's also, he just wants to move, just purely because then he can become very self-sufficient, because it's very difficult for him. His mum and dad look after him, and you know, I'm not going to get a violin out and stuff, but he's willing to do the work, right? And you actually studied in the UK before, so you know, you it's not like you're a stranger to England, right? Like
I am
you're
not
in
an
India.
Alien to England, so yeah.
No, you're not an alien, and you know, you've studied there, you've worked there before, and you've got the qualifications. So if you're watching this, please do either get in touch with me and I'll happily introduce you, or get in touch with Pratik on LinkedIn, add us both on LinkedIn. Check out some of the other conversations that have been happening on Influential Visions, and keep your eyes peeled, because we've got so much more content to put out there over the next year. We plan on doing one podcast every week with people like Nicholas Babin, EU digital ambassador, ex-head of Sony Europe for robotics and AI. We've got all sorts of amazing experts, but sometimes it's nice to just showcase someone who has so much potential. And it's not an area that I usually get involved with, but I think Pratik is a genuine person that really wants to get involved, and he loves what he does. And, you know, it's like, I would hire him if I had a job for Pratik, believe me. So, you know, please do get in touch, and thank you.
Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.